Sleepless Nights at the End of the World. A Hockey RPF Story. Written by Pika's Fire and read by Calicuria. Please note that no disrespect is intended toward the real people whose faces and names we borrowed for this story. This story features the pairings Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook, Duncan Keith, Kelly Keith, Brent Seabrook, Dana Seabrook, Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook, Kelly Keith, Dana Seabrook. This wasn't supposed to happen. In the list of things Brent wasn't expecting, this is at least third on the list, after being able to talk to animals and growing wings, but before a zombie apocalypse. The four of them sit quietly at the table, two identical pregnancy sticks sitting in their wrappers between them, two little lines clear in each window.
"Well," Duncan says, "that's weird."
Kelly shrugs. "Not really. We both got sick at the same time and took the same antibiotics, and we practically lived together, so it makes sense our cycles are synced, and we definitely had sex at the same time." Brent has no idea how they're all so calm about this.
"What do we do?"
he asks, trying to keep the panic out of his voice.
"Whose baby is whose?"
He mustn't be successful, because Duncan grabs his arm.
"Jesus, take a breath. It's fine. We'll have them, if we all want them. We would have had kids at some point, right?"
"Yeah, but..." Yeah, definitely panicking.
"We swap. What if Dana's pregnant with your baby? What if Kelly has mine?"
Duncan gives him a weird look.
"Does it matter?"
he asks curiously.
"We're doing this together, right?"
It's a stupid question. "Yeah, of course." Duncan leads in close, hand still reassuring on Brent's arm. "Hey, think about it, okay?
We're not going to make a decision without you."
Brent just stares at him. "A baby," he says, a mix of awe and horror. "Two of them." Duncan grins at him.
"Yeah."
It's not that Brent doesn't want kids. He does. But this whole thing, well, that's not just fucking around occasionally. This is two whole new people who are going to come into their lives. To be honest, Brent's not sure how that's supposed to work. They don't live together or spend all their time together. Would they have to all move into the one house? Would they just separate the kids? What if something went wrong?
"You okay?"
Dunks pokes his head around the door to the bathroom. It's not that Brent's hiding. He's just... totally hiding. "Yeah." He musters an unconvincing smile. "I'm fine." Duncan doesn't say anything, coming in and closing the door behind him, sitting on the cold tiles next to Brent.
"So, babies," he says, nudging Brent with his elbow.
Brent lets out a long breath.
"Yeah."
There's a long silence. "How's that going to work?" he asks after a moment. "Do we keep our houses? Do we move in together?"
"I don't know."
Duncan shrugs, their shoulders touching.
"I guess we'll just keep one each. They'll pretty much be raised together anyway, right?"
"What if..."
"I don't care if the baby Kelly has is yours," Duncan says. "We don't swap that often, and it's just genetics. Doesn't mean I'll love it any less. And without a test, it's not like we'll know, yeah? It'll still be Kelly's."
He laughs.
"If it turns out to be thick as a brick, I'll know it's yours."
Brent can't help but grin. "Yeah, and I know if mine is a complete weirdo, it's definitely yours." There's a pause. "We won't, stop, will we?" It takes Duncan a second to figure out what Brent's asking.
"No way," he says. "How would we stop?"
He thinks for a moment.
"Look, I married Kelly, but..."
He trails off, grabs Brent's hand and gives it a hard squeeze.
"Look, we won't stop. I'm not going anywhere."
"Okay," Brent says, letting out a breath he didn't know he was holding. "One each. Raised together. All right."
"Awesome."
Duncan winces.
Can we stop hiding now? This floor is hard.
Yeah, we can stop hiding. Okay. So, they're doing this. That's cool. Brent's not freaking out at all. Which, okay, yeah, total lie, but whatever. He's got it together. They've agreed not to say anything to anyone until after 3 months, which is only like 2 weeks away. But Brent's jittery and uncomfortable, and Sharpie is like a fucking bloodhound when it comes to secrets.
So, Sharpie says, skating over to where Brent's sitting on the bench. You've got a secret.
What? No, I don't.
Brent says, high-pitched and panicky.
Yeah, you do. And I know it.
How?
Brent demands, then pauses.
No, you don't.
Well, no, Sharpie allows. But now I know you have one.
One day Brent won't fall for that.
So, Sharpie says, what's the secret?
Weirdly enough, Brent scowls, it's a secret.
I won't tell.
Liar.
Sharpie is incapable of keeping secrets. Ever. It's like an illness with him.
Sharpie just laughs.
Come on, don't make me guess.
Brent remains stubbornly silent, and Sharpie rolls his eyes, pondering for a moment.
I know. You and Dunks are having a baby.
Brent flushes.
Shut up, he hisses. Keep your voice down.
Are you serious?
Sharpie stares at him.
Okay, you know you're both guys, right?
What?
Brent groans. You're so fucking stupid. Look, you can't tell anyone, right? He takes a breath.
Dana and Kelly are pregnant.
Sharpie pauses for a moment, perfect poker face, before he collapses against the boards, laughing himself stupid.
It's not funny!
Brent hisses.
You can't say anything!
Sharpie's laughing too hard to reply. Kaner skates over, tapping his stick against Sharpie's shins, staring curiously.
What's his problem?
No idea, Brent says, climbing over the board and skating away. Been wondering that for years.
Sharpie knows,
Brent admits after practice. Duncan looks over at him, eyebrow raised.
Oh.
He guessed!
Brent says defensively. It's mostly true. But everyone knows that next to Sharpie and Kaner, Brent is totally the third worst at keeping secrets.
Did you tell him not to say anything?
Dunks asks, frowning.
Just for another few weeks.
Of course.
And?
He was laughing too hard to reply, Brent says. Dunks sighs.
I'll call him.
They're having a baby, and Brent is totally calm. Except it's 12 weeks now, and Brent's clutching an ultrasound scan between white-knuckled fingers, trying desperately not to hyperventilate in the locker room. There's the general commotion around him, getting ready for practice. Sharpie nudges him, eyebrows raised.
You all right there, Seabs?
Fine, he says faintly. He holds out the ultrasound picture. I'm having a baby, he says, and it's not like he didn't know that before, but now, with Dana sick all the time, and addicted to those gross pretzel sticks, and Brent is holding a picture of their baby, it's hit him like a puck to the head.
I know,
Sharpie says, clapping him on the shoulder.
Hey, Dunks, your boy here is having a crisis. Again?
Dunks wanders over, half in his gear, prying Brent's hand open to look at the ultrasound photo.
Oh, the scan. Let me see. Pretty cool, huh?
Brent stares at him.
How are you not freaking out?
Dunks shrugs.
Kelly and I had longer to get used to it, I guess.
He kicks Sharpie until he moves over, sits next to Brent in Sharpie's stall.
We are kind of planning them sometime soon anyway.
You know, Sharpie says, I know you guys do everything together and all, but isn't this a bit much? Did you have a schedule for fucking or something?
Or...
He raises his eyebrows suggestively.
Do you do everything together?
Dunks laughs. Brent doesn't. It's meaningless chirping, and seriously, Brent should be used to it by now. He and Dunks have been dealing with Mary jokes for years, but for some reason, this time hits a little close to home. He ducks his head, staring at the picture of the tiny person growing inside his wife.
Sharpie's laughter dies away. Oh, God. You're not fucking serious, are you?
He looks at them for a moment.
Actually, you know what? I don't want to know.
He stands up, claps Dunks on the shoulder.
I'm happy staying as far away from your freaky sex lives as possible. Congrats on the kids. I will never, ever babysit.
Seriously, Siebs? Dunk says, but there's fond amusement in his voice.
Come on, stop freaking out. That'll be awesome. We'll be fine.
He nudges him with his elbow.
Get ready for practice. I'll be late. We'll tell the team afterwards, if you want. If Sharpie hasn't already.
Yeah. He tucks the picture away in his stall. Takes a deep breath. Yeah. He can do this.
Who thought having a baby was so complicated? These days, Brent spends his free time reading websites and blogs and the books that his mother sends him after he calls her to tell her she's going to be a grandma. Babies are apparently the most complicated pieces of equipment known to man. How do people do this? Sharpie is useless, but Abby is more than happy to answer Brent's 15 million texts. There are things like cribs and toys and diapers and about 73 different types of creams and powders and oils. Oh God, he's going to accidentally kill it. He seriously doesn't know how Dunks is staying so calm about all of this, and this is happening soon!
I'm gonna be a terrible father, he moans, face-planting into yet another parenting book sent to him by his mother.
Seriously, I don't even know! This book says you shouldn't have bumpers in the crib. You know, those stupid pieces of fabric that cover the sides. But this one says you should!
He's aware he's panicking.
Again. How the fuck do I know which one's right?
Okay, Dunk says,
picking the books up from the table and piling them into his arms.
You know what? I think I'm just going to take these away.
Brent grabs for them.
Then I won't know anything!
Siebs, Duncan sighs. You know people have been having babies for centuries, right? It's not like it's rocket science. You'll be fine. Seriously, hasn't Dana been talking to you about this?
Of course she has, Brent says. But she knows more about this than me. I'm trying to catch up.
The look Duncan gives him tells him he's being an idiot.
You've got to be kidding me, right? You're not going to catch up. Girls are like, I don't know, fucking sponges when it comes to this. I'm having enough trouble trying to figure out how to put together the crib so it doesn't collapse when we put the baby in it. Just relax.
Duncan rolls his eyes, tone affectionate.
I don't know who's more work during this pregnancy. The girls, or you and your freakouts.
I just don't want to fuck it up.
Yeah, I know.
Duncan drops the books, rubs a comforting hand over the nape of Brent's neck.
Me too. But hey, we have awesome wives to tell us when we're fucking up, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Awesome. Now come over and help me put together this fucking crib. And I'll help with yours. I don't even understand how I could have gotten it so wrong.
Brent's pretty sure he couldn't be more prepared if he tried. There's a bag packed by the front door. The baby's room is set up and perfect in greens and yellows. And now it's the waiting game. Brent hates waiting. And with him gone every few days, he's jumpy and high-strung. What if he's not there when it happens? What if something goes wrong and Dana can't get a hold of him? He knows he's being irrational, but it's hard. At least Duncan is as high-strung as he is. He still feels so unprepared for something as big as a baby. It's almost more stressful than a Stanley Cup final. The rest of the Hawks have a betting pool going on which baby will come first. Brent wins. He has a missed call and a voice message from Dana after the game. A quiet, "Honey, Kelly and I are at the hospital. Baby's on the way. No need to rush. It'll be a while. See you when you get here." And Brent almost has a heart attack on the spot.
"Baby!"
he says to Dunks, eyes wide.
"Hospital! Now!"
"Kelly or Dana?"
Duncan asks, looking as freaked out as Brent feels.
"Dana."
Brent starts to pull his gear off in quick, frantic movements. "Shit, I knew this would happen." Sharpie steps between them, hands on their shoulders.
"Relax," Sharpie says. "Fucking hell. Both of you breathe. You'll be fine. Go shower, get dressed. Babies take forever."
He shakes his head.
"You're probably not going to sleep for the rest of forever. Appreciate the ability to have a shower in peace now." The rest of the Hawks are watching them with interest, and Sharpie lets go, turning to address the room.
All right, everyone. Apparently Siebes here has won the race. Who's got the pool?
Duncan and Brent ignore him entirely, rushing silently through the showers and dressing as fast as they can.
I'll drive,
Duncan says, as they get to the car park.
We'll pick up your car later.
It's got the baby seat in it.
Duncan grins.
So does mine. Stop freaking out.
You stop freaking out,
Brent says, barely aware of what he's even saying.
Holy fuck, Dunks. Baby!
I know, man. Too bad the girls couldn't coordinate that too, huh?
Brent laughs, breathless, stomach churning with nerves and excitement.
Oh God, no turning back now.
Brent can't really remember much of the labor. There's lots of screaming and tears and not much sleep at all. Dunks is there for most of it. Kelly, too.
Brent's pretty sure Dana's broken half of the bones in his hand. Dunks' hand steady on his back as he tries his best to help Dana through it.
It's interminable. Then way too fast. 15 hours until there's the squalling cry of a newborn, messy and distressed.
A boy, Brent says. It's a boy.
Dunks leans over his shoulder as the baby's placed in Dana's arms, hands on Brent's hip.
He's beautiful,
he whispers.
Yeah.
And if his voice is a little wet as he reaches out with hesitant fingers to brush his fingers over the skin of his baby's hand, no one mentions it. 3 days later, they go through it again. Another little boy. Brent feels a little more prepared this time, but can't help the fluttery nervousness in his stomach as he watches Kelly go through it. The team sends presents and balloons and flowers. Birth announcements sent out in a joint mass text that maybe says more than they should. Brent, Duncan, Dana, and Kelly are pleased to announce the arrival of two healthy baby boys. Ryan Patrick, 7 pounds 12 ounces, and Aaron David, 8 pounds 3 ounces. Thanks to everyone for the well wishes. We'll be ready for visitors soon. They get a few smart-ass texts, asking whose is which, that they steadfastly ignore, and by the end of the first week, Brent's not even sure if he can answer it. Brent and Duncan sprawl out on the floor in Brent's lounge room, a baby asleep on each of them.
It looks like a baby apocalypse in here, Brent says sleepily.
There's an assortment of bottles and baby slings, clothes and toys spread all over the floor.
You know, Duncan says, just as exhausted, we'd probably get more sleep if they were zombies. Somehow. I don't know.
Brent laughs, stifling it as best he can when the movement jostles Ryan half awake, flailing a tiny arm.
Shush, sorry, baby,
Brent says, rubbing his back gently. We just need to keep them alive for 18 years, he says, when Ryan's settled. Then we win the apocalypse, right?
I don't know if this analogy makes sense anymore,
Dunk says.
I'll go with the ass.
Brent falls asleep like that, to the sound of the girls talking in the dining room, Duncan sleeping next to him, and the quiet breathing of his two sons. This may have been unexpected, but Brent's pretty sure it'll all work out. The end. Thanks for listening.